So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, text number 199 through to 206. So I'll read the verses up until 206, and then we can chant the verse together, and then discuss and read from there. Okay. I'll just say in advance, excuse my Bengali. Okay. Translation. No one within the free world is sufficiently powerful to deliver us. You are the only savior of the fallen souls, therefore, there is no one but you. Text number 200. If you deliver us by your transcendental strength, then certainly your name will be known as Patitapavana, the savior of the fallen souls. Text number 201. Let us speak one word that is very true. Plainly hear us, O merciful one. There is no other object of mercy within the free worlds but us. The Goswamis are addressing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Text number 202. We are the most fallen. Therefore, by showing us your mercy is most successful. Let the power of your mercy be exhibited throughout the entire universe. Text number 203. Let us submit one piece of information before you, dear Lord. It is not at all false, but is full of meaning. It is this. If you are not merciful upon us, then it will be very, very difficult to find more suitable candidates for your mercy. Okay. Text number 204. We are very depressed at being unfit candidates for your mercy. Yet since we have heard of your transcendental qualities, we are very much attracted to you. Text number 205. Translation. Indeed, we are like a dwarf who wants to capture the moon. Although we are completely unfit, a desire to receive your mercy is awakening within our minds. Okay. So, text number 206. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent, eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master? Purple. In his teachings to Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has declared every living entity to be an eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a constitutional position of all living entities. Just as a dog or servant is very much satisfied to get a competent, perfect master, or as a child is completely satisfied to possess a competent father. So the living entity is satisfied by completely engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord. He thereby knows that he has a competent master to save him from all kinds of danger. Unless the living entity comes to the guaranteed protection of the Supreme Lord, he is full of anxiety. This life of anxiety is called material existence. To be completely satisfied and devoid of anxiety, one must come to the position of eternally rendering service to the Supreme Lord. This verse is also from the Stotra Ratna 43 by Sri Yamunacharya. Magyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagujatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tomsijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Okay. So please repeat after me. By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires, and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant? And always feel joyful to have such a fitting master. Okay. So this chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is entitled The Latter Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And the Jashushi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Jashushi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Jashushi Gaunitai Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharaj Ki Jai. So the material world is a very difficult place to be in. It's a very difficult place to be in. It's a difficult place to be in for a number of reasons. The main one being that it is hostile to our needs. It is hostile to the real desire of the living entity. The living entity is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, and rather the material world is literally the opposite. Asat, Achit, Nirananda. Temporary, full of ignorance, and also full of suffering, full of misery. So we are in a foreign situation. Let me go back a step. So we request the blessings of all the assembled devotees, so we can speak something that will be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and to pleasing to the Guru Parampara. Okay. These series of verses are instructive of a mood, and it's the mood of which you can approach for mercy. So, in text number 199, it is stated, no one within the free world is sufficiently powerful to deliver us. So Rupa and Sanatana Goswami are requesting. They are petitioning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are the only savior of the fallen souls, therefore there is no one but you. So you cannot get out of a prison by yourself. You cannot get out of a situation in which you're trapped by yourself. It requires someone who is free, someone who is liberated, to come and pick us up, to take us out of the entanglement that we have fallen into. And this statement is requesting our Lord to save us. And how is he able to do it? It is said that he is sufficiently powerful. Sufficiently powerful to release individuals from the clutches of the material energy. It requires power. Actually, everything requires power. But to help others to come out of the material energy, it requires a certain type of power. It requires spiritual strength. It requires spiritual strength on the one side, Well, on the other side, it also requires receptivity to that which is being offered. In these verses which we are reading, not only do you get a glimpse of the power required, the power of God, the power of Krishna, that's required to lift people up, but you also get an understanding of the mood that's required. And the mood relates to being open to receive such mercy. And that mood that's required is a mood that is being exemplified by the Goswamis, but it is also the mood that is exemplified by every single pure devotee. And that mood, ladies and gentlemen, is called the mood of humility. Without humility, the individual, the living entity, the devotee will miss the mercy. So oftentimes the consideration is that we would like to be in the association of these pure personalities. But that is not the complete equation. That is part of the equation. The other aspect of the equation is, are you receptive to what is being given by such personalities? Without both things being in place, it is very easy to have mercy available and to completely miss what is being offered. In this next verse, it says, if you simply deliver us by your transcendental strength, then certainly your name will be known as Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen souls. This is also very instructive. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has an external mission. His external mission is to spread this Nam Sankirtan movement. It is to give people a particular type of medicine, an exclusive medicine that will deliver them in this age. And that medicine is the medicine of the holy name. Now it's very interesting that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's appearing as a devotee, Bhakta Rupa. Right? He's coming in the form of his own devotee. So this verse can be read in a number of ways. So they're speaking to him, if you deliver us, your name will be glorified, your name will be known as Patita Pavana. So you could say, just like I would say to you, if you do something for me, everyone will glorify you. Your name will be known as this, meaning your reputation will be glorified. But there's another way of looking at this. And the other way is that the Lord Chaitanya understands, I've come to deliver my holy names. I've come to deliver my holy names to the entire world. So here, when the Goswamis are speaking, they're saying to him that actually, if you deliver us, your holy name, which will be the means of deliverance in this age, will be known as Patita Pavana. Your holy name will be known as that instrument and that attribute, that element that delivers everyone. Yeah? So if you deliver us, your holy name, and this, which is the Sankirtan movement that you've come to propagate, will be exalted. So in other words, what they're saying to him is, if you deliver us, it's completely in alignment with the very mission that you've come here to perform. In the next verse, let us speak one word that is very true. Plainly hear us, O merciful one. There is no other object of mercy within the three worlds but us. So these prayers. Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avata Mosimo Patita Prabhu Napai Beara. It is necessary for each and every one of us to also make this same petition. That actually, there's no one who's more, there's no one who's more in need of your mercy than me. It is incumbent of us not only to petition the Lord in this way, but to feel this way as well. The unfortunate thing about the living entities in the material world is that we're a little bit crooked in the material world. Even the most seemingly sincere person is a little bit crooked in the material world, because when we say things, we don't necessarily always mean it. Okay? And to make the matter even more difficult is that in many cases, not only do we not mean it, but we don't even know that we don't mean it. I had a very interesting experience a while back. I was speaking to one of my Shiksha gurus. We were in another country. And he made a comment to me. He pointed something out to me. And what he pointed out to me was something about myself that I was completely unconscious of. Right? Very interesting. So he was telling me something about my mind. He said, what your mind is trying to tell you is X, Y, and Z. And it was interesting because it was below the threshold of my awareness. Right? And this is where the difficulty comes in Krishna consciousness. That you may have some other thing going on in your consciousness, but you're not aware of it. So on the one hand, you can consciously say, yes, I'm like this, I think this way, I act this way, but actually, you're not fully aware of yourself, even your conditioned nature at this time. I was in a conversation with one person, and it was a very interesting conversation, because they wanted some advice about something, and we were going back and forward in the communication, and they made a comment to me, a very sincere comment, which, if I'm honest, when I think about it, I thought, no, I can't actually agree with what you're saying. It was very sincere what they said. What they said made complete sense, but I couldn't agree with it. So they were making this comment that ultimately, I know myself best. So I know myself, and I know best what I need. And I was thinking, you could say that makes a lot of sense. And I was thinking about my position in relation to this devotee. So you could say that when it comes to self-knowledge about themselves, they are here. And when it comes to self-knowledge about themselves, I'm definitely below them, right? Because I don't know everything that they've been through. I don't know every aspect of their individuality, etc. But as I was thinking about it, I had this kind of, I had this vision that came to mind. So I saw their position in terms of their own individual knowledge about themselves. They've been through their lives. They've got all these friends, families, experiences. So if you ask them for all the specific detail about themselves, they're going to know more than I am. So I will know definitely less than them. But Krishna consciousness is very interesting for a number of reasons. One of the reasons why Krishna consciousness is very interesting is because it provides you with an indirect view of things. Okay, I remember I used to live in one location. And when I would go to work, I would walk down the road and I could see the bus stop. Okay, so I would walk down this way. There's a road, you know, adjacent, and there's a bus stop just there. So I would take my time to walk down the road. But at the same time, I'd have to make sure I don't miss the bus. So I can't see the bus. The bus is coming from this side. So I'm walking down the road like this. The bus will be coming along there. So there's all these houses. I can't see the bus. But what I would do is I would look at the people at the bus stop. Because I could understand that if I just look at the people at the bus stop, they can see something I can't. So when their body language changes, when they become a little bit like, you know, alert, when I'm looking at their body language, when I see that they're alert, that means that there's a bus coming. Okay, so indirectly, I'm able to perceive something that I cannot see directly. And the Shastra has a similar effect. So with this particular person, the idea here is that, yeah, this person knows themselves better than I do. But if I don't look at them directly, then something else becomes apparent. In other words, if I don't look at them directly, then it's like this. It's like looking up at the ceiling and there's a mirror. You look up to Krishna, and when you look through Krishna, you look down from his vision and you can see a whole range of things about an individual that they actually cannot perceive about themselves. This is what we call Shastra Chakshus. Right? It means literally to see the world through the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when we do that, then a whole range of things about life and about reality, they then start to become apparent. Right? Things that actually, to be honest, you shouldn't be able to see factually. But you can, because the person who created the world is actually telling you about how the world works. So with this particular person, it was to do with a relationship, and they were sharing with me the things that they feel that they need about the relationship. And I could understand, they know some things that they need about in a relationship, but there's a whole range of other things that their nature is going to need that they're not even conscious of. Yeah? Because what tends to happen in the material world is that you only realize that you have certain needs when you're in a situation and those needs are not being met. Does that make sense? Right? So, you know, and then what happens is, oh, well, I thought I'd be okay, but actually I realize that I'm not happy in this situation. Like, you go into a job, they're promising you all these things, you think, wow, this is my dream job. You get into that job and then you realize, you know what, I don't like this. Right? It doesn't work for me. I need this, this, and this. So it's very unfortunate in Kali Yuga. It's a very unfortunate position that we are in that we don't even know ourselves, even in the conditioned sense, what to speak of in the ultimate spiritual sense. It's very, very unfortunate. So we require mercy. We require to come to this particular point where we understand, we're not just saying it, but actually at a very deep level, We also internally speak the same things that our mouth speaks. In other words, the expression of the heart is completely aligned with the expression of the words or the body. We have to come to this point. There's no other object of mercy within the three worlds. That means that actually, of all the people that we know, there's no one more fallen than I am. There's no one more fallen and more in need of help than me. We tend to do the opposite. Because in the material world, everyone is insecure. Have you noticed that? Because if you haven't noticed, you should look again. In the material world, practically all of us are insecure. And one of the ways in which the insecurity plays out is we are looking for every excuse to feel superior to other people. Have you noticed that? Right? I'm not that bad. That devotee, they don't even do this right. I'm not that bad. I'm doing more service than him or her. You've made the big mistake. The more that the living entity is proud, the less you qualify for mercy. Because what is mercy? Mercy is that which you are unqualified to receive. You understand the point? So as long as I think I'm qualified, you're actually asking Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to pass you by. As long as the living entity feels we're qualified, we're asking the Lord, don't look at me. I'm already great. I'm already exalted. It's these other people who have fallen. It's a trick of the material energy. So we're meant to do the opposite. You're actually looking for reasons to feel that the other devotees are better than you. You're looking to feel that the other devotees are better than you. And then, but it doesn't stop there. Let's go, let's just carry on. Because there's a little bit more to this. I'm going to go to this. Let's see. I want to read you this particular verse. Because this is actually really important. Let's see. This is it. Verse 204. Because it's not enough to just feel that the others are exalted, they have good qualities, because that can also lead to a certain problem. Now, let's just read this verse, 204. We are very depressed at being unfit candidates for your mercy. Okay, so this statement relates to this sense of feeling fallen, right? I need your mercy, but I don't deserve it, okay? So it is mercy. There's no reason why you should give it to me. I'm not qualified for it. But at the same time, if you don't help me out, there's no hope for me whatsoever. But it doesn't stop there. We are very depressed at being unfit candidates for your mercy. Yet, since we have heard of your transcendental qualities, we are very much attracted to you. The difficulty that we have as a movement is if at any point we recognize, because Krishna's very exacting, right? If you get proud, he's going to find some way to point out to you, dude, you're not really that great. And if you don't listen, he will find another way to tell you with a slightly raised volume, dude, check it out. You're not really that great. If at a certain point you don't hear, the volume goes so loud that you cannot avoid hearing the message. Right? You have a choice. We have a choice. Either you consciously work at recognizing and developing your humility, or he will humble you. It is so interesting. This idea of seeing the world through the Shastra. You sometimes look at the devotee and you can see this dude is proud. And you can understand that if the statements of the Shastra are real, which they are, it always works. Then it means that you either have a choice. Either the person gets the point by hearing, or you're going to have to feel it. So it's a lack of intelligence when you don't understand and accept what Krishna is trying to tell you. Because you're only saying that because I'm not intelligent enough to hear, you have to make me experience to get the same point. It's not a question of whether you're going to get there. You're going to get there. Right? It's how painful it is or how long it takes to get there. So this idea of humility is a non-negotiable. Let's put it that way. You're going to actually experience it. We're going to be humble. How quickly we become humble, how long the journey takes to become humble, that's between you and the Lord. But whether you get there or not, that's a given. So this idea, we're very depressed at being unfit candidates by for your mercy, yet since we have heard of your transcendental qualities, we are very much attracted to you. That means I recognize I'm fallen, but it doesn't stop there, because if I just feel I'm fallen all the time, there will be inertia, right? You will feel really, I'm so fallen, I get this wrong, I get that wrong, what hope is there for me? But that's not Krishna consciousness either. Because the primary thing is not that we're insignificant or fallen. The primary thing, that the most important thing to remember about Krishna is that he loves you unconditionally. The most important thing to remember about the Supreme Personality of Godhead who you try to serve is that he's not like us. He's not a conditioned living entity. It's not, I love you if, I love you when. There are these two dynamics in the world, in relationships, right? A very simple question. Do I love you because I need you, or do I need you because I love you? In the material world, it is the former, okay? So if there is something, it's because you're doing something for me. I love you because I need you. When I'm around you, I get this, I get that benefit, this happens, you make me feel good about myself. I love you because I need you. All right? There are some perks that come along with the relationship. Both Bhagavatam and Mahabharat, both of them state that the living entity in the material world is self-interested. Right? Self-interested. And it's not the end point, but it's where we begin. Right? So Krishna consciousness means to deal with the ideal. You understand? We're dealing with the ideal. That means this is the goal. Right? But it also means to deal with the real. Right? So this is the goal, but where is that person on this journey? Where is the starting point? Because if you don't pick the person up, there's no question of taking them anywhere. Right? You don't pick the devotees up, there's no question of taking them anywhere. So you can speak about this point, and you will see in many situations, in many areas of our movement, you can see that the lights have just switched off. Why? Because this is the goal, and it's wonderful, and it's important, and it has to be spoken about, but I've not done anything to pick people up where they are. So the further people are from the goal, we have to pick them up where they are in order to encourage them to move along that particular journey. Okay? So there is this idea that the Lord, or rather the living entity in the material world, I love you because I need you. And that is also, for many of us, our position as well. Let's be very clear here. That is also the position of the Kanishta Adhikari. Because Kanishta Adhikari means materialistic devotee. That is, Prabhupada translates that. He translates it like that. That's the nectar of instruction. Just in case anyone wants to check, the materialistic devotee. That means our conditioning is still there. And it's still, I love you because I need you. I'm getting some perks from my devotional life, right? Well, as Ayendra Prabhu said, you know, to solve the chapati problem. And it's where we begin, but it's not where we should stay. The Goswamis, the pure devotees, is I need you because I love you. This is a very exalted state of affairs. I need you because I love you. Just try and understand that very carefully. What happens when your heart leaves the world? It says here the latter pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. What does Lord Chaitanya eventually do? Eventually he leaves the world. Yeah? What happens when your heart leaves the planet? What happens when the very reason for your existence leaves the planet? What happens is exactly what the Shikshashtakam says. Govinda Virahaname. The world suddenly feels empty in your absence. Because the only reason why I'm here is you. Now you've gone, what else is there here for me? So that is the point. We start with, I love you because I need you. But the aim of the sincere sadhaka is to get to this point. I need you because I love you. I need to be in your association because, Krishna is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. The you, Supreme Lord, you are my life and soul. So we are at different points on the journey, but everyone has to remember this is the point. This is where we're trying to go. And if we don't remember that the Lord loves us, then you have one side of the equation. You have the sense of feeling fallen, but you don't have the sense of hope. Unfortunately, in the modern world, many people have been in situations where we didn't receive that sense of unconditional love and acceptance in our childhood. So to be very honest, and it's funny no one speaks about this, many of the statements in the Shastra can grate on the practicing devotee. You may read some of these things, oh, it's a bit too much. Oh, you know, I mean, how many times? If someone has a deep sense of lacking self-acceptance, how many times can you hear that you're fallen? Let's be honest. How many times can you hear, no, you're not, you know, you're fallen. It's like, oh, dude, come on. Like, help me out here. I'm struggling. How many times can you hear that? So it is incumbent upon the devotees to have the full equation. The full equation, it's not enough to just recognize that you have to be loving to the devotees. They actually need it for this is a funny thing. For a devotee to be steeped in humility, they have to feel that they are loved and accepted. Right? What does love do? Love allows you to let go. Right? You will see even in this movement, there are devotees who, many of us, are so desperately holding on to prestige, position, so many things. Right? You have something and you're desperately holding on to it. Desperately holding on to it. The only way to get that person to let go of that is to let them know that, dude, actually, your position doesn't make you even more lovable, right? You have to give people such a sense of unconditional love that they understand you don't need to hold on to these external things, right? Just telling them is not, just saying it isn't going to work. And therefore, the idea of what's the word? Priti Lakshanam. The idea of these loving exchanges is not just a nice to have. Without this properly being there in the association of devotees, you will actually slow down the growth of everyone's spiritual development. Right? You have to understand that point very carefully. The projects are for the people. It's not the other way around. The goal of our service is actually to give people Krishna and to give it to them in such a way that they actually make advancement in spiritual life. Right? The end goal of every single project is the development of the creeper, of not only the people that you're reaching out to, but the people who are presently within the practice of Krishna consciousness. Is that clear? Okay. I hope that's very clear. That's the purpose. And in the material world, it's very easy to get things mixed up. Remarkably easy. It happens all the time. So this is what we're trying to achieve. That mood. It's not enough to feel I'm fallen. And people won't even accept the truth that they're fallen unless they know that actually, however fallen we are, that's secondary. It doesn't actually matter. The prominent aspect of Krishna consciousness is that Krishna loves us. And as is said here, we've heard of your transcendental qualities. We're very much attracted. That means I'm running towards someone. I'm not running away from the material world primarily. Right? That there may be an aspect of that in the beginning. But at a certain point, I'm running to you, Krishna. And that means something else also. It means you need to know who he is. It's unfortunate in the Krishna consciousness movement that the devotees don't know much about Krishna. It's really unfortunate. Right? Who is he? Right? What's he like to do? What's his mood? How does he dress? Right? How does he interact with his devotees? You actually need to know this. Because unless you know who he is, how will you be attracted? Okay, there is one caveat. There is one nuance to this. One side of this, although it's not the full, it still requires knowledge of Krishna, is that you can be attracted to his pure devotees. Right? You look at Prabhupada, you think, wow, this person's qualities are so extraordinarily attractive. If he is part and parcel of Krishna, my God, what would the whole be like? Huh? If he's a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, Krishna only knows how attractive the Supreme Lord himself is. So we should think about these things. The best advice we can give you is to make sure that you develop a humble mood in the service of pure devotees. And make sure that in your association with everyone that you are loving. This entire section is actually the Goswamis begging Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his mercy. Right? We require mercy. That's actually what we're looking for in our spiritual life. You should understand that. You need to do two things, therefore. One is go after the mercy. We also see this in our movement. There's this idea that I will sit down and put my feet up and then the pure devotee should come to me. It doesn't work that way because it means that you're not desiring it. If you desire it, it means you are prepared to make a sacrifice and you're going to go after it. Desire means you will inconvenience yourself in order to get that particular mercy. If you're not prepared to make a sacrifice and inconvenience yourself, it means you don't actually want it very seriously. Right? Now, I understand that can be a bit grating because, again, okay, I've got these restrictions, these limitations. But Krishna's in your heart. His consideration is, I expect you to do the best that you can. And he knows what your best is, actually. And you can't fake it. Right? So it means within whatever limitations you have, you are going to do everything that's within your power to chase that particular mercy. And with that mercy, you're going to approach it in a very humble mood. In a very humble mood. In fact, if someone's really intelligent, you would actually be humble all the time. Bear in mind that there were many people who did not understand Prabhupada's position. He's a pharmacist, he's a businessman. You know, they were looking to all the sannyasis to do something amazing. Right? You actually don't even know who you're in the association of. You don't know. You can't see them. That's one point. The second point is even the devotee who seems to have bad characteristics or bad behaviors, you actually don't even know who he or she is going to become. Right? Case in point, Dhruva Maharaj. Okay, now this is a young boy. This is a young boy who's let's be very honest, he's performing austerities for a material result, right? That's Kanishtha Adhikari, just in case anyone has a concern. Very clear. He wants to have a kingdom, right? That's what he's looking for. He's a Kshatriya, okay? But he's performing devotional service for a material result, but he gets the Lord anyway. Right? And because he was insulted by his stepmother, she has to pay the price for it. What that means is even the devotee who you don't like, who's got bad characteristics, even they need to be dealt with properly. Huh? Because as bad as they are going to become a pure devotee one day. They are. Right? There's hope for everyone. Huh? That's how it is. And to just give you a sense of how intense this is, right, let's think of it this way. Let's be, again, very honest. Sometimes you don't like different people in positions of power. Right? Sometimes you think, why is that person, they're like this, they're like that, they're in position of power, I don't like it. How can this be allowed? Think about Indra, Kanishtha Adhikari, okay? Materialistic devotee. Other people are performing yajñas and they're going to get punya or piety that they may challenge his position. What happens? He tries to sabotage the situation, right? Fights a pure devotee. Vritrasura Ratchasura is a 100% pure devotee, an incarnation of Maharaj Chitraketu, right? Indra's fighting a pure devotee. What's the position that Krishna allows him to occupy? King of heaven. Right? So next time you have an issue with your authorities, remember that. Right? Remember that. You have to see this world through the eyes of Shastra. Therefore, everything is actually, for a sincere devotee, this is a school. Right? The real question is, what's the lesson that Krishna is trying to teach me? Learn your lessons and graduate. Learn the lesson, move on quickly and graduate. You're not going to be able to change the material world. I see this every time. I see the devotees wasting their time trying to change everyone else. You don't understand what's going on. And you don't have much time, by the way. That's the first thing. A, you don't see things properly. B, you don't have much time. We don't have much time. So for all the time and energy that we're wasting trying to change everyone else, if you used a fraction of that time to work on yourself, you would have been a pure devotee. Do you understand the point? If we try to, the idea is not to expect the world to change. Because actually, in many cases, the difficulties and the challenges that we've been given in our lives, Krishna's allowed it to happen. Right? Yes, even the people who give you a hard time, Krishna's allowed it to come into your life. Why? Because if it's taken in a certain way, it can be the exact means of elevation. In this pastime, these Goswamis have been, I mean, I was reading the verses beforehand, right? They were forced to work under someone else, right? They had to escape. These are pure devotees. Rupa and Sanatha, these are associates of the Lord. These are associates of the Lord. And you think about it, that means the Lord's associates, even they go through trials and tribulations. Of course, that is to show us how a pure devotee responds. But in many cases, the pain and the suffering that we are experiencing in our lives is because we stubbornly hold on to a certain perception, a wrong perception or a misconception about the material world. There's a misconception. The difficulties and the trials and tribulations, they can be an experience of the greatest mercy and affection that the Lord has for you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We don't like it, and we often don't want to admit it, but to be honest with you, and I'm going to ask you a show of hands, how many of you can honestly say that sometimes you've seen that the reason why you have such good qualities or you've developed certain good qualities is through difficulty? Anyone had that experience, or was it just me? Let's be honest. Yeah, that's the point. And it can be painful, it can be grating, but it's true. And as much as we don't like to admit it, Krishna's very conscious of that. He's very conscious that in some situations, in some circumstances, if I don't put them through some difficulty, they just will not grow in the same way. I remember I was speaking to one person. I mean, he's just such a great person. I mean, in terms of great qualities, one person that I associated with in a particular arena. And it was very interesting. I saw this pattern. So what had happened was that guy who was in a very senior position of responsibility, when he was young, his brother, one of his younger brothers, was born with some disability. So from a young age, he was having to serve and look after his younger brother. And the moment he said that to me, I thought, exactly, I get it. Because that same principle is given in Shastra. So you'll find in societies where the young are made to do not just service, but actually selfless service, to be in a situation where you have to think about the well-being of someone beyond yourself. You understand? Someone else's agenda, not what you feel like doing when you feel like doing it. You see that those people have such good qualities. They have such good qualities, especially if it's done along with a loving support, right? It can go badly if it's just that, then it can become resentful. But that with a backdrop of loving support, you see those people have such good qualities. Why? Because what's happened is they were pulled into a situation from a young age where they learned to take the joy in giving something to other people, right? Which comes closer to the nature of the soul, right? It comes closer to the nature of the soul. Therefore, they just have these remarkable qualities. Remarkable qualities. And you look and think, how is that possible? right? But it's possible because of this mood of service. But we do the opposite. We run away from that, right? Oh, if we're going to do it, we're only going to do the things which are going to give us some prestige, the things which are going to give us glory, because you've missed the point. Okay? Now, at the same time, there's a little bit more to it, and that is, you also have to be honest. See, it requires real sincerity, because we have to start from where we are. But we have to be very clear, this is the goal, right? Do I love you because I need you, or do I need you because I love you? Now, the last point is relation to this purport. And this purport talks about having a good master. Right? What does that mean? It means someone who's going to love and give you shelter unconditionally. You'll see that in the modern world, it's very anti-authoritarian, isn't it? Yeah, people don't like authority, let's be honest. So, and again, that's in Shastra. So when you take positions of authority, it's, oh, but people are being rude to me. No one appreciates what I'm doing. You know, I try my best to serve and everyone's against me. Yeah, that's normal. Yeah, that's normal. No, seriously, that's normal. That's exactly what's stated in the Shastra, by the way. People, they don't like, no one likes authority. Because we have a God complex. We want to be the person in charge. So, oh my God, they made him temple president. Oh my God, oh, no, you know? And then it's just, then I've got my notepad and pen now. I'm just noting everything that you do wrong. Right? I found something else he got. He made a mistake. Yeah, he sang Guru Puji. He had the wrong word there. Whatever it is, right? That's normal. That's normal. Seriously. So when you're a parent, Dad's come to the school again. I'm just so embarrassed. Why is that here? Whatever it is, any position of authority, people don't like it. So when you take a position of authority, you are enemy number one, right? When you act, even if you have no position, but you act in an authoritative way, oh my God, that's even worse. He's got no position and he's trying to tell me what to do. You know? No one likes authority. It's normal. But it doesn't stop there. Therefore, it is incumbent upon the leaders to actually reach out to people with love. What does love do? Love says that my authority is for your benefit. You understand? Then it becomes something different. I don't mind you being in charge if you being in charge is for my benefit. That's what it means to be a good parent. Prabhupada says a loving father. A competent father means he's in charge, but it's all about you. You understand? He's in control, but it's all about you. That's leadership, by the way, right? They maintain the authority. Why is it people love Prabhupada? He's in charge. When you see Prabhupada, there's no question of who's in charge, right? It's not like, I will tell you what to do, Prabhupada. You know Prabhupada's in charge, right? But why do they love Prabhupada? He's in charge, but it's all about you. Right? That's also Krishna's mood. Krishna's in charge, but in Krishna's heart, in Krishna's mind, it's all about his parts and parcels. It's all about his living entities. That's leadership. Right? You don't throw away the control, but the control is actually to help other people to grow. And in that mood, everyone grows and develops. So we have to go deeper in our Krishna consciousness, and we have to just accept this is the material world. You're not going to be happy here. You're not going to be happy here. Even if you're a materially pious, nice devotee, you are not going to be happy in the material world. Until the day that we become pure, you're not going to be happy. There's a tipping point. I'll end on this point. There's a tipping point in Krishna consciousness. And this is subtle. So what happens is it's like a pyramid. So we start on one point of the pyramid. Let's say I'm a devotee in the mode of ignorance. Right? And there are a lot of devotees in the mode of ignorance. I'm a devotee in the mode of ignorance. So I'm at the bottom stage in spiritual life. I elevate myself a little bit more. Now I'm a devotee in the mode of passion. Okay, I elevate myself a bit more. Then I come to this tipping point. I come to devotional service in the mode of goodness. Okay, now at that point I have a choice. Right? At that point I have a choice. Either I can start to become proud. I'm practicing devotional service in mode of goodness. I'm regulated. You know, I know the scripture, and I start looking down on all the other devotees. I think I'm better than other people. If you do that, you'll stay in the material world. right? Because you think you're advanced, but advanced, you're not advanced. Advanced compared to who? It's not advanced compared to Rupa Goswami. It's not advanced compared to Prabhupada. It's, we say advanced meaning I'm looking at all of those who are junior to me, right? And it's, again, subconscious. You don't even notice. Why am I looking in that direction? It's unconscious. Or there's a tipping point. At that point where we come to the platform of devotional service in the mode of goodness, at that point you have to look up. You look up to Prabhupada and you think, you know what? I'm nothing. And then the entire pyramid turns over. So then you become the most fallen living entity, the most fallen devotee in the endeavor for pure devotional service. And that mood remains, right? So even though you've come to like the highest point in the material world, sattva, but it's still the lowest point in the platform, from the platform of pure devotional service, right? So then you're still at the bottom looking up, Rupa Goswami, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, you still maintain this mood, there's no one more fallen than me. Please help. Please help. And as long as we consider that we are unqualified, the mercy continues to flow into our spiritual life. The most heartbreaking thing that you can experience as a devotee is when the mercy is turned off. Right? And that's a warning to everyone, by the way. The worst thing you can experience is when the mercy is turned off. So do not offend the devotees. Don't be so stupid to offend anyone. Right? Now you could say, well, it's difficult because I've been hurt, and I understand that, right? This is not, we're not talking about some kind of sentiment or something philosophical. I understand that. I do get that. I get it. The two things you should understand at this point. One is, as much as we've been hurt by the devotees, we've hurt someone else. Okay? So remember that you've received some difficulty from other devotees, but you've also been the person who's dished it out to others. So first of all, you should be very clear. You're not innocent. We've done this to others, whether consciously or unconsciously. That's the first point. The second point is that actually, if I want to be strong in spiritual life, I need to associate wisely. Now, people don't like it when I say this, but to be honest, I don't really care. You don't have to be friends with everyone in Krishna consciousness. Do you understand? Krishna and Prabhupada are not expecting you to be friends with everyone in this movement. They're expecting you to have respect and to have a sincere mood towards everyone, but you don't have enough time to be friends with everyone, right? Especially if you're working one of these high-powered jobs where you're working practically all the hours God sends. You have hardly time for your relationships with your close friends and family, to be very honest, right? So you're not expected to be friends with everyone in this movement. In fact, you're actually expected to be selective about who you're close to. Yeah, and I know that you haven't heard that so often in the class, but I'm telling you that. You're expected to be selective about who you are close to because you're meant to be discriminative. Do you understand? And you associate in such a way that you can give and receive, you can help each other, and you can inspire each other to make advancement. So when you put your head in the lion's mouth, it's your responsibility. And it sounds harsh, but it's true. When you put your head in the lion's mouth, oh, this person was like, but the devotee's in the mode of ignorance. Why did you give him your credit card details? I don't understand. Seriously. I don't understand. Like, what were you thinking? But they're a devotee. They're meant to be kind and loving. No, he's a sadhaka. There's a difference. I had this. One of my mentees sent me this quote from Prabhupada. It was from Sixth Canto, and it was talking about relationships. And he'd highlighted in bold. I think it's chapter 26. I can't remember the exact. But he'd highlighted in bold because he's thinking of associating. And Prabhupada talks about the compatibility and so on. But then he'd highlighted this statement by Prabhupada. But he says, but the devotees are transcendental, right? So the boy and girl in Krishna consciousness, they make a good match. And he was saying, he asked me about this. And I said to him, yeah. And I explained to him a few things. I said, first of all, you need to understand that if you want to understand Shastra, and I will be very quick, I'm not going to go too far over time, so forgive me. So I said to him, you need to understand Shastra. You need to understand that to understand Shastra is not simply a question of reading the words. It's not enough to read the words. Because the point about the Shastra is actually you're interpreting it according to your subtle conditioning, and it's unconscious. That's why most devotees, if you ask them about Krishna consciousness, they will not tell you that the goal is unalloyed devotion. They will tell you that you can be a nice person, do this, do that, and do some Krishna consciousness. That's not your goal, actually. That's not your goal. That's allowed as a starting point. Your goal is actually to become a pure, surrendered, 100% devotee. Ahoituki apratiyata yayatma supersiti. That's your actual goal. That's what Prabhupada's expecting of all of us. Are you clear on that? It's not a bit of Krishna and a bit of something else. You start there, but he's not expecting that you end up there. So when this devotee said that, I said, look, you have to understand that when Prabhupada writes that, everyone's going to interpret it, because unless you've gone deep into it, you can't put together all the pieces. So it's just a nice statement, but it's not seen in context. That was the first thing. The second thing is, I said, when Prabhupada says devotee, he usually means pure devotee. You understand? So when it says devotees are transcendental, my point, Tim, is just ask yourself, are you above all the material modes of material nature? Because if you are above all the modes of material nature, good luck. Marry anyone you damn well like. But if you're not above all the modes of material nature, you need to think very carefully about who you associate with. Right? So it's very, the words are there on the page. It's not the words that are wrong. It's that you don't understand what Prabhupada's saying. Right? And to be very honest, he's done it on purpose. It's a preaching strategy that's been done consciously by a founder acharya. And it's done on purpose because it can perform many different purposes. It can give inspiration to the Kanishtha Adhikar. Nectar of instruction. If I just bathe in Radhakund, I can get prema. Okay, I've been there a few times, right? Trust me, I go back as much as I can. What's going on? Yeah. It's just a subtle, small, it's a small print, the small print consciousness. Right? The small print is the consciousness. It's not just the external activity. It's actually a consciousness that has to also be behind it. So there's a lot more to this tradition than meets the eye. There's a lot more to the Shastra than meets the eye. But the ultimate thing is we're looking for the mercy of pure devotees. Are you clear on that point? What you're looking for is the mercy of pure devotees, to be submissive to that mercy. And because they have Krishna, they can give Krishna to all of us. Okay? Okay. Anyway, just some things for you to think about. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Janitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.